WCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center. And always on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. Once again across Israel. Workers off the job and marching amidst a general strike. They are protesting the Netanyahu government's handling of the war with Hamas in light of the killing of those six hostages, their bodies found in a tunnel under the Gaza city of Rafah. Funeral for one of them, 23-year-old Hirsch Goldberg Poland, is being held in Jerusalem today. Hotel workers in eight U.S. cities, including at Hyatt, Hilton, Marriott, at Omni locations, the employees, everyone from front desk personnel to housekeepers and dishwashers, demanding pay raises. Michael Carrera is one of those walking the picket line.
We have a lot of people that are just living check to check. We're asking for a $10 raise, and even with that $10 raise that we're asking for in the next four years, by inflation numbers, we would still be considered poor as a hotel worker.
President Biden and Vice President Harris will be marching in the Labor Day parade in Pittsburgh today. This is ABC News.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. The Democratic nominee for Vice President, Tim Walz, campaigning in Milwaukee today. Senator Elizabeth Warren spent last week campaigning for the Harris-Walz ticket in Wisconsin. She says she supports Kamala Harris's plan to lower consumer prices by targeting corporate price gouging.
When they increase their profits by 448%, if your profits went up by that much, it's price gouging.
Warren on WISN-TV's Upfront yesterday. President Biden travels to southwest Wisconsin on Thursday. He's expected to talk about the 2022 Inflation Reduction Act. Meanwhile, Donald Trump will hold a campaign rally in central Wisconsin on Saturday. Trump campaign says it will happen at the airport in Mosinee starting at 1 in the afternoon. This is Civic Media News.
For WRCE News, I'm Joanne Krulatz. Governor Tony Evers, together with Wisconsin Housing and Economic Development Authority, have announced the final 2024-2026 Qualified Allocation Plan. The QAP is the plan for administering federal and state tax credits that finance low to moderate income housing and establishes parameters and priorities for awarding the coming year's housing tax credits, including federal 9% and 4% credits, as well as state 4% credits. The plan is tailored to meet the evolving housing needs of Wisconsin and to make sure the state's workforce, economy, and housing infrastructure are ready to meet the needs of the 21st century. The state and federal programs provide tax incentives through the Internal Revenue Code and the Wisconsin Tax Code that encourage developers to create affordable housing in exchange for the tax credits. Developers agree to reserve housing units for low and moderate income households. And that's what you need to know. I'm Joanne Krulatz.
The Brewers had a five-game winning streak snapped. Hi, I'm Jimmy Cusco with Civic Media Sports. It took 11 innings, but the Cincinnati Reds took down the Brewers 4-3 on Sunday thanks to a walk-off single to score the automatic runner. Still, the Brewers took 3 of 4 games from the Reds in the weekend series. Now, Milwaukee comes home to take on the St. Louis Cardinals Monday afternoon in a 3-game set. They'll get a day off Thursday before playing Colorado this weekend. The NFL season kicks off this week. On Thursday, the Kansas City Chiefs face the Baltimore Ravens. On Friday, the Green Bay Packers will play the Philadelphia Eagles in Brazil. The Packers matchup has plenty of intrigue as both teams change defensive coordinators and running backs for this season, and it'll be the first ever NFL game in Brazil. Kickoff will be after 7 p.m. on Friday night. The Wisconsin Badgers trailed early in the fourth quarter, but two late touchdowns gave the Badgers a 28-14 win on Friday. Next up, Wisconsin will take on FCS foe South Dakota this Saturday at Camp Randall Stadium with a 2:30 p.m. kickoff. For Civic Media Sports, I'm Jimmy Cusca.
This is your hometown radio, Refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
It is going to be a really nice Labor Day today. Mostly sunny, 74 this afternoon. The wind out of the south at only around 5. Tonight, clear, 52. Tomorrow, sunshine, 76. Then on Wednesday, mostly sunny with a high right around 80. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it's 51.
I'm Sawyer.
And I'm Shannon.
Together, we're Twin Stunts, the only twin motorcycle freestyle show in the world.
We are born and raised in Wisconsin, so we want all our fellow cheeseheads to know that even though we clutch it up, hit 12, and drift in our show, we would never do it on the open road. And there's another thing we would never do on the road. Drive drunk. Drive sober or get pulled over. Together, we can save lives. Learn more at zeroinwisconsin.gov. Wisconsin DOT.
Oh no, stomach issues again?
Stomach issues? Who are you?
Your pancreas. I could be the real reason for your diarrhea, gas, bloating, stomach pain, or loose oily stools.
I thought it was my stomach.
People often do, but any of these symptoms could mean having a condition called exocrine pancreatic insufficiency, or EPI. With EPI, the pancreas doesn't release enough enzymes to break down food, but EPI is manageable. Use the symptom checker on identifyepi.com and speak with your doctor. That's identifyepi.com. Sponsored by AbbVie.
Jane Matt Nair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, we sit down and talk to labor leaders from all over Wisconsin for our Labor Day celebration. Please join us and happy Labor Day.
Matt Nair on air, weekday mornings at 10. This is News from the Center, WRCE.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Thank you for listening to the Best of the Earl Ingram Show. In this segment, Earl discusses what his union pension means to his family.
The world has changed so very much from what it used to be. There's so much hatred, war, and poverty. Up all the teachers, time to teach a new way. Maybe then they'll listen to what you have to say. They're the ones who's coming up, and the world is in their hands. When you teach the children, teach them the very best you can. World won't get no better if we just let it be.
All right, welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. You know, I wanted to talk a little bit about labor and about labor unions, and how I can't understand anybody in labor unions who support the policies of Republicans, of Donald Trump, or Republican policies, period. I spent 34 years in a labor union. And, you know, I walked in there at 18 years old. I walked out at the age of 52. And the impact of working in a unionized shop, I had no understanding or inkling of the value of it until the latter years of my life when I started receiving my pension. And I received my pension every month. It's not in danger, it's not in jeopardy. It'll be there after I'm long gone. My wife will benefit from my pension. And so, you know, the beauty of that, and it affords my family to be able to continue to live a middle-class lifestyle long after I stop working. So I'm 70 now. I came out of there at 52. Do the math. It's been a long time. And my pension is still there every month, and it makes a difference in my life. So anybody who works and has a union pension, I don't understand how you can support people who want to do away with the National Labor Relations Board. So Republicans and Donald Trump, are talking about doing away with the National Labor Relations Board. The National Labor Relations Board is a federal agency that protects the rights of private sector employees to organize and join unions and to improve their working conditions and wages. That's what the NLRB is. And it prevents and remedies unfair labor practices by private sector employers. Now, if you're a union person, that's the whole purpose of the National Labor Relations Board, is to protect you and your union brothers and to make sure that corporations can't take advantage of you. So I don't understand how anybody who's in a union thinks that that's a good thing that Republicans are talking about taking away the National Labor Relations Board. Our phone lines are open at 844-967-2789. Those of you who aren't in unions and don't know the value and the importance of what I'm talking about right now, I can understand it because you haven't been in a union. You don't know the value of those things. But for all those people who do, how do you then cut off your own arm because you somehow think that the Republicans and you love what they stand for? But my God, to talk about doing away with the National Labor Relations Board does not benefit the average Joe. There's no way possible that it does. Maybe you don't understand that, but I do. And this is one of those other things that is taking place in this election that people need to be made aware of. Now, let's go to the phone lines and Tom from Richland Center. Hey, good morning to you, Tom. How you doing, sir?
Great. Good morning, Earl. One thing I want to mention about benefits is that when you're in a union plan, the benefits are above and beyond wages, where if you're getting wages and buying those benefits, you're paying tax first. So that we actually get a huge benefit from the way the old pensions and health plans were set up. But the other one I wanted to mention is the history of unions in the United States. They started as craft unions, and they actually compete with each other, as opposed to something like the IWW, where it was a union, industrial union for everybody to be in the same union. And the problem is, I'm a carpenter, so the carpenters try to take the iron workers' work, the laborers try to take the carpenters' work. Instead of going after the non-union folks and show them the benefits, they end up fighting amongst themselves. And there is a history of unions falling down on the benefits for the workers in terms of them creating institutional efforts to protect themselves instead of, really going for workers' rights and all the good things. So when they work, they're fabulous. They need to be democratic. And a lot of the bad vibes about union are from when they've acted undemocratically.
So, Tom, let me ask you, because you're in the trades unions, it does appear that many people in the trades unions vote, the other way. More so than most unions, you'll find a lot of guys in trades unions. I know a lot of them who vote, Republican. I've never understood that because it is the value of the union that gives you the value of the job that you have from the perspective of making sure that your wages and your benefits remain where they are. It is the union that makes that possible. And I've never been able to understand how people in trades who have benefited from the unions don't see the value of the union.
Well, let me explain one more time. It's the problem with being trade unions that are independent from each other and are fighting with each other, and they create a class consciousness of say the iron workers get more money, so they think they're above the carpenters or the laborers, and everyone needs someone lower on the pecking order to, for, you know, be better than, instead of us all realizing we're in it together.
Right.
And if you look at the iron workers and the operating engineers and even the carpenters, they started making deals with Trump or who was before that, Bush. You know, they're making all these, they get the work when even there's a depression, work gets done on construction projects with, you know, building roads or bridges.
Right.
And they end up benefiting the right wing as much as the left wing when they go to vote. So I'd say at least a third, maybe half the carpenters are Trump people.
Yeah.
It's disappointing. But it goes back to, we're not a team. We're a bunch of individuals scrapping at each other instead of being a real team.
Hey, Tom, very well said. Thank you very much for listening, man. Thank you very much for the call. Let's go to Earl from Milwaukee. Good morning to you, Earl. How you doing? You say what?
I'm doing fine, Earl. How you doing?
I'm doing fine, man.
Yeah, this is Earl Boyce, remember?
Hey, yeah. Yeah, man. How you doing?
I'm listening, and I'm enjoying what you're saying because, hey, I was one of them union workers, 19806.
You know, man, I walked into 19806 at the age of 18, and I walked out at 52. What time, how old were you when you went into 19806?
When I left Vietnam, I was 20. I walked out in 201, 31 and a half years.
So let's talk about it. Are you still receiving that pension?
Hey, I'm receiving it, and it's set for my wife. Everything's good.
Yeah. So, you know, I just, again, man, if we could get back to a time in this country like that, when those pensions and people who understood, and I'm not saying even back then, everybody who was in the union understood the value of that. By the way, I'm going to be doing my show live September 2nd. From Labor Fest, as I do every year. And, man, being around all of those. Remember when we used to, you know, our union would bring our families to Labor Fest, and we would be amongst all the other unionized people in the city of Milwaukee when the middle class was strong and families were strong. You remember all that?
I remember winning a big screen TV.
Yeah. Well, I didn't ever win anything, but just that, and all of that is gone. And so the stresses that was on people's lives, the middle class was secure. And this is the message that Kamala Harris and Joe Biden and the Democrats have been preaching constantly. Is about that middle class and what happened to it. And so when I hear the Republican Party, again, they want to do away with the National Labor Relations Board. And if people really understood the impact of what that means, they would definitely say these aren't people who are looking out for the best interests of the average person. Hey, Earl, it's good to hear from you, man. Hey, leave your number with Calvin, man. I'll give you a call afterward. Leave your number. 844-967-2789 is the number. You're tuned into the Earl Ingram Show. Come on, come on.
You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE.
November 21st, 2021, the Waukesha Christmas Parade attack, a holiday celebration, turned deadly. Daryl Brooks drove his SUV into the Waukesha crowd, targeting as many people as possible. Brooks injured dozens and killed six, including an 8-year-old child. It never should have happened. Just days earlier, Brooks was arrested for trying to run over his girlfriend, but he was released on just $1,000 bail. Senator Tammy Baldwin, voted against increased funding for pretrial detention of violent criminals like Daryl Brooks, making it easier for these criminals to terrorize our communities. Call Senator Baldwin, 608-264-5338. Urge her to support S-3919, the Keep Violent Criminals Off Our Streets Act. Because violent criminals belong behind bars. Paid for by One Nation, www.onenationamerica.org.
News from the Center, WRCE.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
You're listening to the Best of the Earl Ingram Show. In this segment, Earl talks with the senior advisor of the Lincoln Project, Joe Trippi, at the DNC.
Where is a song of love? Where is a song of love?
So let's talk a little bit. The Lincoln Project, clearly conservatives who are looking at what is transpiring, what has happened to the Republican Party, and you guys are pushing back and saying, hey, this is not the party that we supported all these years. Somebody's hijacked it. We've got to fight to get it back. Is it possible to get it back?
Oh, yeah. And I mean, it's one of the reasons I joined the Lincoln Project. I mean, I am a Democrat who's done a bunch of Democratic presidential campaigns and worked for a lot of Democrats for the Senate and governor's office where we fought each other. I fought these guys.
Right.
But I realized that they understood how tough and strong you got to be when you fight back against someone like Donald Trump in a way that a lot of progressive consultants don't understand. I think we didn't understand how big the threat really was. And so I joined with them because they get it. They get, you got to, it's not, I'm sorry, but it's not when they go low, we go high.
Yeah.
you got to punch back. And that's one of the reasons I joined. They get it. And when you look at the Republic, like women in the suburbs. We're now looking at what we call Dobbs dads, Republican pro-life fathers, but they have a daughter in 12, 13, 14 years. And since Dobbs, they're starting to rethink where they are, and they're not comfortable at all with all these bans and things that are going on. And J.D. Vance sort of made them even think about it more. So they're a target. And then you have these Red Dawn Republicans they're older, but they still remember Ronald Reagan calling on Gorbachev to tear down that wall.
Yes, sir.
And George Herbert Walker Bush presiding over the fall of that wall and the fall of the Soviet Union. They still see Putin and Russia as the enemy.
A threat. Yes,
as a threat. And they see what's going on in Ukraine, and they don't understand why Trump and J.D. Vance, again, these are Republican men. We're not supposed to be able to get Republican men, but they have a problem with that. And the Lincoln Project, Rick Wilson, Stuart Stevens, another senior advisor, they get how to reach them and those targets, they want strength. They want to see some strength, which I think they're seeing in Kamala Harris. It was easy to kind of make Biden, fair or not, it was easy for Trump to do the weak, strong, weak. It's not working with common with these. So we're targeting them, and that's where those are, particularly in Wisconsin, in the blue wall states. We're being very active, and we're targeting to get the right method. I mean, to make these voters think about what they're doing, and the more they do think about it, those particular groups that we're talking about, Dobbs dads and Red Dawn Republicans specifically, but there's others, are who we're trying to communicate with. And I do think it's not only possible, it's going to happen. So we got to do a lot of work still, but it's possible.
So when I listen to many conservative congressmen and senators, guys who should know better, like Lindsey Graham and others, who have basically just decided we're going all in for Donald Trump. Once Donald Trump is off the scene, which he may never be off the scene, he's been able to carve out this niche for him and people who are willing to go through hell and back to support him. Even if he loses, he's not leaving. How do they carve back or get back that portion of the Republican Party that they've lost?
No, I think that you're right. I mean, not only is Trump not going anywhere if he loses, but MAGA's not going anywhere either. That's going to be a fight that has to continue. And the only way to beat that kind of thing and it happens in both parties from time to time, where one wing, a really extreme wing, and this is probably the most extreme wing I can remember in my political lifetime.
Right.
But when a wing like that takes control of a party, it takes two or three massive defeats before the party decides, hey, we got this, isn't going to work. And so, but the first two here have been pretty close. So even if we win this one, even if we win it by a little bit wider margin, which I think is possible, it's going to take multiple campaigns. Probably J.D. Vance picks up the mantle and runs Full MAGA in 2028 against her if Harris wins. There's not a political event where we win, it's over. They've been building this movement for decades. They're not going to stop. Even if Trump loses and then doesn't go in 2028, somebody will pick up that.
So I'm a 70-year-old guy who remembers Ronald Reagan, who remembers the Republican Party from the 60s, and the fact that they were reasonable.
Right.
And even though they were more concerned about what's in the best interest of our entire nation, even though there were some political differences,
right,
that's not the case today.
Right.
And so how do we get the parties, that particular party, to understand if we don't bring this nation collectively back into unison, there is no future for our nation.
Right.
We make up 4% of the global population.
Right.
We can't act like we're going to control the rest of the world. Those times have passed.
Right, but the problem is they've purged that wing of the party. I mean, the people that make up the Lincoln Project, the people like Adam Kinzinger,
right,
Liz Cheney. Like, look, there's not probably a single thing me and Liz Cheney agree on.
I know.
But or Karl Rove and I was on the air with him on Fox News all the time.
Right.
As an analyst, we were always respectful. We disagreed all the time. But most of those people in the Republican Party have been purged. They don't.
Right.
Some of them will be speaking at this convention. Duncan in Georgia, Adam Kinzinger. So I don't know whether there's a place. I mean, I think it's more likely that the Democratic Party expands and widens and instead, and that means we have to be a little bit more tolerant of some of the. I mean, we're going to disagree with Adam Kinzinger on some things. We're going to disagree with Duncan on we can have a respectful discussion and compromise and find a path forward together. And maybe that's the Democratic Party's, the way we move together to actually solve problems with a majority of that combination, and leave the MAGA cult in a smaller and eroding group. It may not. I'm not sure the Republican Party can recover from what's happened. I mean, from as long as Trump is out there continually feeding red meat to the MAGA crowd.
So last question, how much commitment is the Lincoln Project making towards, are you going to organize candidates to run in the Republican primaries and those types of things? Because if there's more Marjorie Taylor Greens and others that are going to be coming down the pike and Matt Gaetzes and those kind of folks.
Right now, our mission has been one thing and one thing only, stopping Donald Trump from being president in 2020 and stopping Donald Trump from being president in 2024. He cannot return to the White House. I mean, he means it when he says it'll be the only time you have to vote. Don't worry, you won't have to vote again. And people should take that seriously. You know, after that, whatever, right now, that's it. We got 75 days or whatever. That's what we're focused on. We know who our targets are. We know what our messaging is. I, as a Democrat, think the Lincoln Project does a better job of communicating to the people we need to bring over than a lot of Democratic consultants. We haven't spent a lot of time figuring out how to reach those people, but I think we can. They can. We win. Then let's, like, you know, look, I don't know if a new party happens or like I said, whether it's the Democratic Party expanding, which I think is a huge opportunity to realignment to get to a better path forward as one people and let this other mess that Trump's created die off. But I don't know. Now you're asking me to look into the future and something I can't see.
Thank you very much. I'm honored and privileged.
Thank you.
Really appreciate it.
This is News from the Center, WRCE. You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Plans to reroute part of Enbridge Energy's controversial Line 5 in northern Wisconsin are now in the hands of federal regulators. Enbridge aims to address environmental concerns. The tribe's lawyer is Gussie Lord. She says it's not enough.
This reroute is not a solution. It's a full solution to the dangers of the current pipeline. In fact, it really extends the dangers of the pipeline and increases the threat of a devastating oil spill.
It's not clear when the Army Corps of Engineers will decide on the application. Six different hunting seasons are underway in Wisconsin. The Department of Natural Resources says early seasons for Canada goose and teal, as well as mourning dove, rail, snipe, and common gallinule, all opened this weekend. The Canada goose population in Wisconsin is about 40% higher than average this year. This is Civic Media News.
For WRCE News, I'm Joanne Krulatz. A rural Viroqua man sustained injuries Saturday evening in a motorcycle crash. Vernon County Sheriff Roy Torgerson reports the crash occurred at approximately 6:30 in rural Viroqua. Breton Ronald Anderson, 21, of rural Viroqua, was operating the motorcycle westbound on County Road Y. As he crested a hill, he saw another westbound vehicle slowing down ahead of him. While abruptly braking, Anderson lost control of the motorcycle. Breton Anderson was transported to Vernon Memorial Healthcare in Viroqua by Gunderson Tri-State Ambulance. Two were injured in a crash Saturday night in the town of Stark. The one vehicle crash occurred around 7:30. Kyle Ray Stout, 25, of Kendall, was operating a pickup westbound on State Highway 82. Stout reported experiencing a medical episode that he said caused the vehicle to leave the roadway. Kyle Stout, along with a passenger, Haley Christine Rogers, 28, of Madison, were transported to Vernon Memorial Healthcare in Viroqua by Lafarge Area Ambulance. And that's what you need to know.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. If you're a celebrity, every summer is the summer to get drunk in the Hamptons and run off the road. But this is the summer to get caught doing so. First, it was Justin Timberlake, and now we'll add disgraced TV host Matt Lauer's daughter, Rami, to the list. Page Six reports that Rami, 20 years old and an avid equestrian, went off the road in the early morning hours of July 5th and fled the scene, but left a license plate behind. Someone should have told her that horses don't need license plates. The hat worn by Harrison Ford in the movie Indiana Jones Temple of Doom recently sold in an auction for $630,000. The hat was showcased early in the film when Jones and Short Round jumped from a plane about to crash. The high cost for the hat was much more than other celebrity items that were auctioned off, such as Justin Timberlake's French toast that went for just over $1,000 in 2000, or Scarlett Johansson's used tissue from The Tonight Show in 2008. True stories. Check them out.
For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, weekdays from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
It is going to be a really nice Labor Day today. Mostly sunny, 74 this afternoon. The wind out of the south at only around 5. Tonight, clear, 52. Tomorrow, sunshine, 76. Then on Wednesday, mostly sunny with a high right around 80. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 53.
It's 2024 and Worthington, Minnesota continues to shine. We've expanded so many things. It's a time of growth. We've expanded recreation activities with our indoor ice arena, our indoor turf rec center and playground, and our outdoor water park, Water World, is ready for another season. Our schools have expanded and so has our industry. We're continuing to expand our population also, with lots ready to build on Glenwood Heights. So let's grow together in Worthington, Minnesota. It's worth a look.
Are you ready to give your business a kickstart? Reach new heights and boost your sales with WRCO Radio. Give Henry a call today at 608-647-2111.
WRCO, this is Henry. How can I give you the business?
That's 608-647-2111. Let WRCO drive your business to success.
Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I'm in my new time slot from 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. And we'll be doing my show from Madison, where joining me in studio will be award-winning filmmaker and record producer Wendy Schneider.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
You are listening listening to the Best of the Earl Ingram Show. In this segment, Earl discusses Republican attacks on labor unions.
I climb way up to the top of the stairs, and all my cares just drift right into space. On the roof is peaceful as can be, and there the world below can't bother me. Let me tell you now, when I come home feeling tired and weak, I go up where the air is fresh and sweet. Get away from the hustling crowd and all that rat race noise down in the street.
All right, man, the Drifters. Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. Text us at that same number. Man, music soothes the savage beast. It's Thursday. That means the Earl Ingram Show is in full effect. I was talking about the fact that Republicans want to do away with labor unions. Let's go to Jeff from Green Bay. Good morning to you, Jeff. You say what?
Morning, Earl. Is this the radical left Earl?
Yes, this is the radical left Earl, man.
Common sense. It's so radical, isn't it?
Yes, sir.
I'm one of the victims that never got a union. I wanted it, but they turned me down. They had too many other people.
Well, I'm sorry to hear that.
I'm 60, and I got, other than money I made on real estate, I got no pension, no nothing, Social Security, that's it. Here's my suggestion, though. Every federal dollar that's ever given to a corporation, they should automatically be federalized in federal employee union. That's the condition of taking the money.
You know,
what do you think about that?
Well, I think it's a great idea, man. You know, so I know of people who work their entire lives. They can't retire, Jeff. You know, you were fortunate enough to be able to make your money in real estate, but there's so many people who weren't able to do that. And in the latter years of their lives, they don't have pensions and they never made a lot of money. And their Social Security is minimal at best. And they're struggling. And yet it just galls me that Republicans want to take away, you know, these safeguards for the average person. And greedy corporations, and yes, I'm saying that, greedy corporations who can't get enough don't want to share. They were forced to share during my time, because of labor. And labor forced them into sharing. And it's helped create a middle-class lifestyle for many of us, but not enough people today are able to share in that, Jeff. Thank you very much for the call. Let's go to Curtis from West Dallas. Good morning, Jim Curtis. How you doing, sir? Thank you for the call.
Good morning, Earl. Love your show today. Hey.
Well, thank you.
I work for a non-union for 32 years. And let me tell you, what Elon Musk said the other day when he was talking to Trump on, and he said these words, Trump, love how you said, if you don't like your job and you're in the United States, I treat you.
Hey, Curtis, you broke up, and I know what he said, and I think it's critically important to the conversation. Repeat what you said.
Trump asked Elon Musk the other day, and he was saying how arrogant he was because he said, I told my employees, basically, if you don't like your job, there's the door, go home. I worked for a company for 32 years. And every time it was a snowstorm, I drove. My boss said, if you don't want to drive in the snow, go home and I'll fire you. So I know. And we work for a non-union shop. But my husband works for a union shop. And the bottom line, union says, all for one, one for all. So if you don't unite and stand together, you will fall. Just like the country. But you have to stay united. But Earl, I love your show today and keep it up.
Hey, Curtis, thank you very much for the call, man. Your point is absolutely valid. And yes, Donald Trump gave accolades to Elon Musk when Elon Musk talked about what he does to people who wanted to unionize, you know, in his shops, that they could hit the road. Let's go to Gary from Sussex. Good morning to you, Gary. You say what?
Hi, Earl. I'm 72, and I worked for a company for 35 years before I started my own business. And they were non-union. The boss or the owner of the company said that he would fire us if we tried to unionize. And so we didn't. But when I first started there 35 years ago, okay, I was just a kid, he told me that if I work here and continue working here until I retire, you'll have $1 million in the bank that they're going to put in there for my IRA. When I retired at 61 from that company, I had $1 million put into my IRA. Non-union, and it worked. I worked hard for my money. I worked overtime. I ended up as a manager of the company. And then with the experience I had working at this company for 35 years, I started my own business 13 years ago. And I'm still working, and I don't plan. And I'm non-union, and I've never opened up as a union shop. My employees are very happy. They get paid well for what they do.
Hey, Gary, I guarantee you that the majority of the laborers, the majority of the iron workers, the carpenters, the steam fitters, the electricians who are in unions are happy that they're in unions. And they understand that they're making that wage that they're making because of unions. And so, Gary, because you are fortunate and you are one of the select few that had a person who followed through, for everyone that had that, there's hundreds of them who didn't follow through. Unions offered protection, and protection from corporations that have historically taken advantage of the average person, Gary. That's factual.
Yeah, but these people that work for Elon Musk, they didn't quit. You know why? Because they're paid well. And just because you're not, you know, when you're in a union, you have to pay for your own.
Wait. You have to pay for your own what?
Your vacation time.
No. I was in the union for 34 years. I never paid for my vacation time, Gary. And I got in the end, when I retired, 6 weeks of vacation, 5 personal days. A week, almost 4 days off for Christmas, 3 days off for Thanksgiving. I don't know, you know, what you're talking about, Gary.
Well, I have friends that work for an electric company, a local electric company, and he told me that they take so many dollars out of his wages and put towards your vacation. So when you take your vacation, that money is there. If you don't,
that's not a unionized shop, Gary. You know, I don't know what your friend told you, but that's not how negotiations and what the Labor Relations Board and all of those entities that are there to make sure that that kind of thing doesn't happen. That doesn't sound like any union that I've ever known. Have you ever known the police and fire that they took money out of their checks to pay for their vacations, Gary? Have you ever heard that?
Earl? No, Earl. I'm just going by what I was told.
I know. Whoever told you that wasn't being truthful.
Okay. Well, unions have disappeared in this country, and it's been working for most people. I'm not saying unions are bad. I'm just saying people are starting to realize that unions are not the best thing for everybody. It's not. Not for everybody, Earl. You know, for you and for my dad. My dad worked at Els Charmers. He was in the union all his life. It worked for him, you know?
Well, unions work for the majority of the people because they offer they offer, for the most part, livable wages and security. Okay, how can that not be good for people? We see what's happened since they've taken away unions, Gary. Thank you very much for the call. Hey, Bruce, how you doing, sir? Thank you very much for the call. You say what?
Thanks, Earl. One thing about Elon Musk that not too many people know, he just recently was given by his board of directors $56 billion as his annual salary for this coming year. That's after 2 years where their stock prices have dropped because their sales are down. And he laid off 14,000 employees. If they had fired Elon Musk and paid those 14,000 employees equally from that $56 billion, that would be $4 million for each one of those 14,000 employees that was laid off. That's the obscenity of the inequality in this country today.
You know, Bruce, when you have somebody like Gary who argues against the unions and they don't work for everybody. Well, you know, the society was much better off. There were a lot more people who were living well, who weren't struggling during my lifetime when unions made up 35% of the private sector. You know, now that private sector is only 7% unionized, and we see the outcome of that. There is a coincidence. There's, you know, it's just factual. And so now, even in the face of the small group of unions that are left, we've got the Republicans looking to do what they can to dismember those unions unless they're police and fire. And people need to take that into consideration when they're voting. What do these people stand for? What is the Republican Party standing for? They claim they're standing for the average person. If you're looking to destroy unions, you're not standing for the average person. Hey, Bruce, thank you very much for the call and that information. Let's go to John from West Dallas. Good morning to you, John. You say what?
Hey, Earl, just two quick things. I remember a friend said to me a couple years ago that what workers are capitalists too. So we have the right to bargain.
Yes.
And set, you know, we're capitalists too. So why can't we participate, you know, in the same game that industry does, you know?
Go ahead.
I have a small business and one or two employees, like part-time, and I make it real simple. I just give them, I give 25% of what I make, I give to the workers. There's no hourly wage.
Right.
So if I make some good money, they make good money. And if I make less, they make less. And believe me, they're happy to get that. You know, I know they think it's very generous, and I think it is, you know. But to me, it's not generous. To me, it's just fair, you know.
Well, John, you've got a small business, and God bless you. You're the kind of guy who is concerned about your employees. Do you think everybody who has a business is concerned about their employees as much as you are?
If you're paying an hourly wage, that's not really a concern. That's like it's kind of greedy in a way, you know, because they could be making a ton of money and still paying, you know, insect wages, you know.
Hey, John, thank you very much for the call. Phone lines open as always at 844-967-2789. And I want to go out with the Drifters up on the roof.
I found a paradise that's trouble. Up on the roof, up on the roof, up on the roof.
You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE.
Most of us can agree everyone deserves the right to make their own medical decisions. Politicians should have no say at all. Thankfully, we have leaders like Vice President Kamala Harris who are standing up for our rights to make our own medical decisions and protect abortion rights. As Vice President, Kamala Harris helped lead the administration's efforts to protect abortion rights after the Supreme Court overturned Roe v. Wade. Vice President Harris has worked to defend access to emergency medical care and support the ability to travel for reproductive care. She's fought for access to high-quality, affordable contraception and strengthened reproductive health privacy. Vice President Harris has defended our rights and freedoms against right-wing extremists who want the government to make medical decisions for us. She's a champion for our rights. Visit www.abwt.org/Kamala and tell Vice President Harris, keep fighting for our freedom to make our own medical decisions. Paid for by A Better Wisconsin Together, Inc.
News from the Center, WRCE.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Thank you for listening to the Best of the Earl Ingram Show. In this segment, Earl talks with Wisconsin Attorney General Josh Call at the Chicago DNC.
I can't tell you who to talk to. It's your thing.
All right, the one and only Josh Call. How are you doing, sir?
I'm great. How are you doing?
It's always good to see you. It's been a while.
Yes, good to see you too.
So let me ask you, I can't help but hear all these negative statistics from the Republican Party about crime in the city of Milwaukee, crime in the state of Wisconsin, crime across the earth, you know. And it's the worst thing in the world. You should be afraid because people are coming to get you. They're coming up from Texas. They're coming up from Arizona, and they're going to get you. How much of that is fiction? How much of that is?
Well, let me start with this. As Attorney General, I spend a lot of time thinking about public safety and how we keep communities in Wisconsin and families in Wisconsin and schools in Wisconsin safe. I'm a former federal prosecutor, so this is something that's really important to me personally and to the work that I do. And let's start with just where the two campaigns are coming from. On the one hand, you've got Kamala Harris's campaign. She's a former AG of the biggest state in the country. She was the DA in a huge jurisdiction where she put dangerous criminals behind bars. And on the other hand, you've got this ticket, and I don't know if you heard J.D. Vance's remarks in Milwaukee recently, where as he was talking about public safety, he was citing the movie The Gangs of New York. So on the one hand, you've got a former prosecutor, and on the other hand, you've got one guy who's seen Gangs of New York and another guy who's seen Silence of the Lambs. That's the difference in this race. You know, it's not a surprise that the Harris-Walz ticket is much stronger on public safety. Joe Biden talks about how he doesn't want to hear what you believe. He wants to see your budget. And we have seen with Harris-Walz investment in public safety in a lot of different ways. Everything from community policing to strengthening federal agencies like the U.S. Department of Justice and FBI. With Donald Trump and Republicans, we've seen attacks on those agencies. Trump attacks the FBI and DOJ all the time. And the reality on the statistics was that when Trump was president, shootings and homicides spiked dramatically. With Joe Biden and Kamala Harris, there's been a historic drop. Now, the pandemic, of course, played a role in that, but the statistics also speak for themselves.
You know, when you constantly hear people talk about the less and less dollars going to law enforcement, I don't know whether that's the case or not. I don't ever recall, especially in the state of Wisconsin, where we've done such a horrible job of funding law enforcement. How much of that is true?
Well, when it comes to Kamala Harris and Joe Biden, they have supported public safety holistically, including law enforcement. That means investing in the U.S. Department of Justice and the FBI. And look, everybody wants to live in a safe community. Nobody's going to tell you they don't want to live in a safe community. And nobody should have to live in an unsafe community. We need to keep all our communities safe, and that means having a holistic approach. Where we've seen attacks on community safety is from Trump and from Republicans who've been cutting those budgets and leading to reductions in effort from FBI and from USDOJ.
So let me ask you this last thing. So when we talk about crime and people say lock people up, is that always the solution? Can we end crime by locking every person up without addressing the fact that there's some other things we can do?
You've got to have a holistic approach. And one thing that is really important to bear in mind as you're thinking about this is almost everybody who goes into jail or prison in Wisconsin
is going to come out.
That's exactly right. And so when you've got people who are going into the system because they're struggling with a mental health issue or substance use disorder, addressing that underlying root cause through programs like treatment programs or mental health programs, that can make our communities much safer in the long run than simply putting somebody in jail, not addressing the underlying issue, and having them return to the community in all likelihood to reoffend. Now, there are violent crimes, there are people who've committed serious offenses, and of course we need to make sure that the community is protected from those folks, and incarceration is one of the ways we do that. But we've got to take case by case and assess the situation and make sure we're doing what's best for public safety. And that means taking a full view of issues. It also means investing in our communities to give people an opportunity to succeed and to do the right thing, whether it's by getting the help they need through treatment and other programs, or by ensuring that people have access to jobs so they can get gainful employment.
So rehabilitation, which used to be a staple when people were locked up and those kind of things, does that still exist? Do we need to spend more time and effort and energy and money in rehabilitating people while they're incarcerated?
You know, I think we've seen a big shift over time. For a while, it was trendy to talk about just locking people up and throwing away the keys. And we saw in Wisconsin a huge amount of money spent on our prison system in Wisconsin. We're seeing some of the consequences of that right now. And again, if somebody is dangerous to the public safety of our communities and to others, prison is the appropriate response. On the other hand, when we can invest in rehabilitation, that's really valuable. So one of the things we've done since I've been AG is work to hold big pharmaceutical companies accountable for their role in the opioid epidemic. It's important to hold them accountable, period, but it's also important to bring dollars into the state. And we have put those resources, the Department of Health Services has, into things that help rehabilitate people, including supporting treatment programs in jails in Wisconsin so that somebody struggling with substance use disorder, they're more likely to come out with having that issue addressed and not just being likely to reoffend because the issue's untreated.
So what about criminals are getting younger and younger? And young people are creating crimes that are more and more adult. How do you handle that?
We've got to make sure a couple things. First, we've got to make sure that we have positive interventions with kids, that we're keeping kids safe in schools and in our communities. And with the pandemic, when a lot of kids got cut off from social interaction and programs, I think that had some negative impacts. But one of the things we do at DOJ is run the Office of School Safety. And that office works to take contacts from students about safety concerns that they have in our communities. And what we've seen and what the data shows is that when you can intervene early, when a kid is struggling, you're a lot likely to get them to avoid a path that could lead to violence or criminal activity. So making sure we're supporting our kids, we've got strong schools, we've got good systems in place to lift families up, that can make a huge difference in keeping communities safe.
It's always great to see you, Attorney General Cole.
Good to see you too.
All right. Thank you very much.
Take care.
Appreciate it. You as well.
This is News from the Center, WRCE. Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody, join us next time for a special Labor Day edition of the show. We'll look back at Wisconsin history and Labor Day. Be with us then.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2.
At Fleet Farm, we know every opening day doesn't begin and end with us. But if it did, we've got you covered. Everyday hunting gear from Winchester, Remington, and Bear. Everyday fishing gear from Daiwa, St. Croix, and Rapala.
everyday yard cleanup from Scott's, Fiskars, and AgriFab. Whatever makes your day, we're right there with you. At Fleet Farm, we've got everything you need for everyday life.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us. This is News from the Center, 1450 AM WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center. And always on the Civic Media app.